when the wise man had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are, the very first Sunday of the year. It is Epiphany. And not only is it Epiphany, but it's also Epiphany Sunday. Our holiday season is just about over. The Christmas rush is in preparations, has ended now in a few hours of quality time spent with family and friends, but now it's done. The gifts have been opened, the food has been devoured, all the wrapping paper and the empty boxes have found their way into the trash, and the house is even back in order. Right. So, now what? Now what? You know, the hectic pace of the holiday season can leave a person longing for a break. It's a lot of work, isn't it? But the holiday season can also leave us with a sense of sadness. The tinsel, the glitter, the lights, the decorations, the smells, the sounds of Christmas, everything is replaced now with the mundane sameness of life. And many people struggle with the post-holiday blahs. Now what? And I kind of wonder if Mary and Joseph felt some of those same things. The excitement of the Son of God being born that night, the visit of the shepherds, sometime after that, sometime later, the visit of the Magi from the east bringing gifts. But now what? Now what? These things are done. They're in the past. They've become distant memories for Mary and Joseph. Now they set about the task of raising a family, making a living. The excitement of the moment is gone. That big ball in Bethlehem Square has dropped. I wonder if maybe they too struggled with some of those post-holiday blahs. Well, Scripture reveals to us that they probably didn't have a whole lot of time to worry about post-holiday blahs. God didn't allow that holy family to live a peaceful and quiet life in Bethlehem for very long. Things couldn't be peaceful and quiet because the baby that they were raising was the very Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And Satan would try anything and everything in his power to thwart the plans of God to bring an end to the life and the hope of all mankind. And so Mary and Joseph would have to be placed in kind of this God's witness protection program for just a little while. Eventually, they would move back to their small hometown up north after settling down. But for now, there was no time for Mary and for Joseph to get comfortable in Bethlehem. Their world was about to become unraveled again. And sometimes you and I can get to feeling like that, a bit unraveled. Now what? Now what is going to happen in life? Oh, church, it's all too easy for us to find ourselves asking that question. Now what? What else can go wrong, be it with health issues or when Murphy's Law seems to just keep kicking us or just because of those post-holiday blahs. Now what? You see, the good news is that God answers that question. And God is always smack dab in the middle of our now what. And that's what I want you to see today in that story of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus as they flee for their safety. God is right there in the middle of their now what, helping them through, bringing his guidance and his direction and presence into the middle of their unraveled life, truly bringing them hope. And God, trust me, God works this same way in our lives. And we should recognize that it sometimes takes time for God to bring all of those pieces together. We want those pieces to come together right now. But so often, God brings those pieces and sets those things into place as He must and as He will. And often it does take time. And life can sometimes get kind of bumpy as God works us into this plan of His. And we may not always like how we get to where God is wanting us to be. But I want to tell you, I am certain that God has our best interest at heart and our world's best interest at heart, just as He did with Mary and Joseph. And we see this in their story. It was in the middle of the night, and Joseph was sleeping. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Get up. Take the child and its mother and escape to Egypt. Oh, stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for that child to kill him. The wise men from the east, they had just visited Jesus, and they had told King Herod that they were on their way to visit the one who was being born king of the Jews. And this greatly upset Herod. He was the king of the Jews. He was the king. And so he thought, that is. And he must have even became more upset whenever the wise man didn't return. As he thought that they would return to him with the news of where this baby Jesus was. You see, any threat to his position or power had to be eliminated. So very soon, and maybe even that very next day, Herod would send his soldiers into Bethlehem to massacre all the little boys under age 2. Get up, Joseph, the angel said. Get out of here as fast as you possibly can. All the powers of darkness was leading Herod to do the unthinkable. This would be the second attempt to destroy God's plan, God's only Son. The first attempt, of course, was while Jesus was still in Mary's womb. The powers of darkness played havoc with Joseph's mind, with Joseph's heart, until the angel of the Lord came in a dream and settled that now what question that Joseph struggled with. And Joseph took Mary into his home as his wife. And so now with this second message from an angel, Joseph gets up in the middle of the night, and he and Mary make their way to Egypt, and they stay there until the death of Herod. And so, do you see the three things that happen in that story? Let me line them out for you. Three things happen in this story. First, God is in the middle of this now what life unraveling situation. The second thing is that Satan loses. And the third, God's word, a prophecy, is fulfilled. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Oh, you see, when the prophet Hosea wrote these words, he was referring to the nation of Israel, God's son being called out of slavery of Egypt into the promised land. But here the Holy Spirit teaches us in Matthew that this also applies to Jesus, just as God called the nation out, the nation of Israel out of Egypt, so also God calls His Son Jesus out of Egypt. Now what? Well, Joseph, Jesus, and Mary are living with a group of Jews in Egypt, but not for very long. Herod dies, and an angel of the Lord again appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him that it's safe for him to go back to the land of Israel. So Joseph and Jesus and Mary return to Israel, but there's something wrong. Herod's son, Archelaus, who is just as vile, if not worse, than Herod, is in charge now. And so as they look at his reign, again, they're thinking, well, now what? How can we go back there? Archelaus is as bad, if not worse. Now what? And once again, Joseph is warned in a dream to leave that area. And so he moves north to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, and this is where he stays. And again, do you see those three things that happen in that story? They're the very same three things. God meets Joseph and Mary in their now what life unraveling situation. And again, Satan loses. The Messiah is safe, and God's word, again, a prophecy, is fulfilled. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Isn't that interesting? Those three very identical things happen. You see, the prophets of the Old Testament never wrote down that prophecy that Jesus would be would come from Nazareth, that he would be called a Nazarene. But it was understood that the Messiah would be called this Nazarene, a despised person from a small town in the middle of nowhere. Listen, Satan went right to work through this whole time that led up to Jesus' birth. And then he worked overtime once Jesus was born. But his plans didn't work because God met Mary and Joseph in their now what? And God's plans, you see, are always greater. Satan loses, and the word of God's prophecies are fulfilled. And you know, in the midst of God's plans for us, it's the same. God is greater than any power or any darkness of our world. Listen, the power of evil, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call it, is still at work today, and we see this way too much in our world with things like terrorism and war and prejudice and injustice and greed and stupidity. And especially right after Christmas, it seems like this power of darkness just kind of goes into overtime, working extra hard, especially on Christians, wanting you and I to not only put our decorations away, but to put our joy away, to put our faith away. Oh, you can stop being religious now, the devil says. You can stop being joyful now. Christmas is over. It's time to get back to the regular things in life. Oh, the power of evil attacks us with these thoughts, and unfortunately, we sometimes listen. We become kind of downhearted. The birth of Jesus just kind of fades into the past. It's kind of like our desire to worship goes down with the lights. Our joy disappears with the wrapping paper. Maybe our joy and desire disappear because we bought into the world's thinking, maybe a little bit more than what we realize. Perhaps we believe the equation that happiness equals material things more than we think. And you know, if lasting happiness could be found in having that material stuff and in being able to indulge ourselves in whatever we wanted, you know, most of us Americans should be pretty well delirious with joy. Happy beyond description all the time, shouldn't we? Yeah. But instead, we find high rates of suicide and depression and child abuse and other personal and social problems beyond description, especially during the holidays. We find people and sometimes ourselves struggling to stay joyful because deep down inside we've been let down by the lies of this world, that happiness is found having all that we want and being able to get more. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because the Word of God today teaches us truly three things. God always meets us in the middle of our now what. Especially when the powers of darkness seem to be overtaking us. Secondly, Satan loses always. Always, Satan loses. And third, God's word, God's prophecies are fulfilled. And we see this throughout Jesus' life. All the way up to the cross and the open tomb, God's prophecies are fulfilled, and even beyond, as God offers us His everlasting life forever and ever and ever, His presence with us today and tomorrow and for all eternity. And so now what? Now what? How do you and I respond to the grace of God? How do you and I say thank you for this wonderful gift? How do you and I glorify the God who has done all of this for me, all of this for you? Well, for Joseph, he responded by listening and following closely what God spoke to him through the angel. He wasn't one of those, I'll just do my own thing kind of guys. He listened. He obeyed. That's how Joseph responded to the grace of God. That's how he glorified the God who had sent him this Savior to be in his very own family. And you see, you and I can do the very same thing. Today, God reveals Himself to us, maybe not so much in dreams, but God certainly reveals Himself to us through His written Word. And we can listen, and we can follow His way. Like Joseph and Mary, we can become people who do not necessarily rely on our own thinking, our own conniving, our own push to make things happen, but certainly how we can follow God's way and will through His Word. That we can listen closely to God through His Word and follow what He is speaking to us. Know and trust God will always be present in your now what. And throughout our lives, Satan will continue to lose, and God will continue to keep all the promises that He has made to us. Church, that pattern never changes. Never. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that pattern never changes. May God bless you with a joy and love for Him that lasts long after the Christmas and the New Year season. Long after it's over. Amen? Let's pray. Loving God, we are so grateful that You are present with us in the now what. That God, that when our lives seem to be coming unraveled, You are there with us to hold us through and to keep us safe and to watch over us and to help us, God, to help bring that peace and hope into our present situations. And God, we trust You that You always win and that Satan will always lose. And Lord, that promise never changes, that You will be with us always to the very end of the age, and that we are Your children, Your beloved, and You call us, Jesus, to walk with You, to enjoy this life, Jesus, with You here on earth and for all eternity in heaven. We give You thanks, Father, for it's in Your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He met with His disciples in an upper room. And there He took bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is My body broken for you." This is the body of Christ for you. Following the supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me until my coming." This is the blood of Christ poured out for you. Amen. Loving and holy God, we thank you. We praise you this day. We thank you, Father, for your love for us in sending Jesus into our world, wrapping yourself in flesh, Lord, and living among us so that we might know what it is to love, so that we truly might know what it is to walk in your ways, so that we might, Lord, know what it is to reach out in concern and with your touch into our world. Father, we thank you for all that you've given and all that you've done. We ask, Lord, that you enter into these presence of this bread and this cup, so that as we partake of it, we partake of you. Fill us to overflowing with your grace, your love, your presence, your healing, your touch upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you call us to be, united in you and as our head, and shining out your light in our world so that others might come to know the love that we experience in you. Father, bless these elements, and may they fill us to overflowing. And may you forgive us of all of our sins, knowing and those that are unknown to us. Make us whole and make us one with you and one with one another. For this we ask and praise you, Jesus. Amen. Go now in the strength and the grace and the love that God offers you and all. And may you experience his peace this day and in all the days to come. Go now in the joy of the Lord. Amen.